Oh, how many of you are glad to know that you have been sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, justified by the blood of Jesus, and you stand right now as brand new people? Anybody glad to know that's the way you come into the house today? That's the way you come in the house today. Well, I was asked this week if I was going to preach a patriotic sermon. I told them I'd do that every Sunday. That really our job, as you know, I try to steer clear of politics in the pulpit. The two don't fit. And somebody asked me, they said, well, where do you stand on politics? I said, go vote. And I said, I don't know. I'm not old or anything yet. I mean, I'm moving, but I'm not old yet. But I've been through several different presidents, and I haven't found one yet that does as good a job as Jesus. That's a fact. They're all human, so don't. We do not have a Messiah born on either side. And the presidents that I've seen, we've had in the United States, I've seen some of them die. And I was in D.C., and we had memorials for where they lived. And when I went to Jerusalem, they had an empty tomb where he lived. And they said, this is where he had been for a little while, for about 3 days. One of the guys says, as the story goes, is what the guy told me. And I said, well, you know, there's several millions and billions of people who believe that that's not a story, but that's an actual happening. And I said, you all can't find the body. Where is it? He's alive. Now, because of that, you and I have decided, some of us in this room have decided that Jesus is the Lord. How many of y'all have decided, hey, the thing's real? You decided, guess what? He is who he says he is. And he'll do what he says he's going to do. You made that decision. Now, because of that, you're not what you used to be. And so for us to have impact, we got to be what God's called us to be. You know what I think God's looking for? His church. Where's his church? You know, I'm not worried about America as I am as much because, you know, this is where I live and breathe. I'm really worried about the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I'm extremely worried about that. I've given that a lot of energy in my lifetime. Where is the church? I mean, we got big buildings. We got all kinds of programs. Lord have mercy. There's a group of us just convinced we're finally going to get in one coliseum and raise our hands long enough that everything's going to straighten out. Lord, we've been raising our hands in coliseums since 1950, and look at where we are today in the 21st century. Eventually, God's people got to wake up and say, wait a minute. Maybe it's more than gathering. We got to start living it out. So I want you to go with me to Colossians and let's look about how in the world are we going to live this thing out. The greatest thing you can do to make impact on those around you is be in balance. Here's why I follow Jesus Christ. I was out of balance without Jesus. Anybody here get out of balance? Anybody here out of order? How many of y'all have ever had to use a bathroom really, really bad in an airport and you go run to the airport and you finally get to the stall and it's got that sign on it that says out of order? Now, I just don't know why for country people they just don't put a sign up and it says, toilet is broke. Well, I mean, how do you have an out-of-order toilet? The parts are not functional. It's out of balance. When your body is out of balance, when it's out of order, what do they call it? Anybody know? Come on, let's interact this morning. Sick! Is that right? It's sick! How many of y'all have ever had your car or motor go out of order? What happens when your car or motor goes out of order? It's broke. It won't work. It won't run. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens in our lives as human beings when our relationships are out of order? Is that not chaos? Everything gets turned upside down, inside out. And so here's what I really want us to focus on today. Following Jesus Christ is not an order. It's a relationship. It is a relationship that puts the rest of life in order. And you're never, ever, 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 ever going to get well till you allow God to put you in order. You can sit in 1,000 worship services. You can have 600 prayers. You can read the Bible cover to cover. You can focus on all these wonderful ideas of how one day will be like this someday. Amen. But eventually you got to say, okay, God, I know that you have forgiven me, which has reordered me, and now I'm going to start functioning inside the order you've given me. Does that make sense? Because here's what I want you to know today. When you get in order, you get blessed. When you get in order, you become a blessing. When you're living in order, that is around you strengthens. Now let's apply that. Our function as a church, as a group of people who follow Jesus Christ, is to live out what we believe. Unapologetically, we live out what we believe. And I really want to encourage you, begin to tell the truth. You know, if you do something great for somebody, you really tell them the truth. Oh, you're so wonderful. No, I'm really not that wonderful. It's how I've been reordered that really encourages me to bless you. Because I have been reordered in Christ, I now want to be a blessing. And here's what happens in order. You will give instead of take. Now, hold on. That's the number one problem we got in this nation. We're all on the take. I bring it up all the time. You know why? Because we're still on the take. We walk into a store. What do we go into a store for? Come on, what do you even say? We're in Kentucky. How do you say it? Kathy, forgive us. We probably don't use proper grammar here. But what do we, when we walk in the store, what do we say we're going to do? Jamie, what are you going to do? I'm going what?
I'm
going
to buy something.
I'm going to buy something. You said the first time. I'm going what? Get something. Pastor Reynolds, what are you going to do when you walk in the store? I'm going to get something. Pastor Shane, in your world travels, even in other countries, what are you going to do when you walk in the store? Huh? How many of y'all have ever just you just go into a store, you don't even know what you want, you just going in there to get something? One of my favorite stores in the world is Big Lots. You know why I love Big Lots? It's got stuff in there you don't need. But it's at a bargain price. And because it's at a bargain price, I'm going to go. Elizabeth sometimes will go, what did you get that for? Because it's on sale. We might need this, you know, in later on in the 21st century. They may run out of these. She said, honey, they stopped using those in 1973. I know, but they might come back. But you could get three for a dollar. I used to go buy tools there. You know, you buy a wrench there, and the reason you have to buy several wrenches there is because they break if they get under pressure. Or you can go to Sears and get you a Craftsman with a lifetime guarantee. And you know the difference of people that pretend to fix something and people that fix something. Look at their toolbox. In my toolbox, there's only like, these are perspective tools that might work. And some of y'all's toolbox is a real thing. Going to make it work. Things are in what? Order. Now we're going to go over some orders today in Colossians 3. Here's the first order. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will always fall short. Yep. Now I want you to hear that. Why in the world do you need to follow Jesus Christ? Because one of the reasons is you're never going to be a complete human being. It's not that you're just going to hell. That's bad enough as it is. But there are some absolute realities that happen to your life right now if you choose to be disconnected from Christ. You will never be complete. And that's why we run around trying to fill in that void in us because we know something's missing. How many of y'all came to that first step? Something's missing in me. I'm not what I think I ought to be. How many of y'all ever had that thought? Well, here's why. You were made for a relationship for Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? You were designed for that. God likes you. Tell your neighbor God likes you. Now you can tell me, even if you don't, God likes me. Come on, tell him that. Greg, God likes you. What do you think about that? Huh? Even when your woman sometimes, does she sometimes not like you? Good, good. That's real. Thank you for being honest. How many of you men know when your wife puts you in the doghouse, God still wants you in heaven? There's your hope to rest on, all right? When she goes, I can't believe you're like this. God ought to speak to her and say, I can believe he's like that. I made him. I put him together. God puts us in order. Now here, listen, you can't live like this until you get Jesus. Now here's why I tell you every Sunday to get Jesus. First of all, I don't know when it's going to end. How many of y'all know when it's going to end?
We don't.
Every funeral I do, Every funeral I do. And we average here about a funeral a week. I just want to let you all know the pace we're running right now, okay? And as my hair continues to be highlighted, what will happen, the more highlights you see, the average of funerals will pick up in this congregation. And I'm retiring and let Shane do the rest of all those funerals. Because by the time Shane has highlights in his hair, we'll probably in this church be averaging about 10 or 15 funerals a week. That's going to be lovely, isn't it, Shane? So what are you going to be aware of? People need Jesus. And here's one reason people need Jesus. We die. How many of y'all are aware of that? I mean, I don't care how cool you are. I don't care how wonderful you are. Eleanor, I don't care if you teach till you're 125. That's death in itself. Amen? But eventually, we're going to have to leave this dimension. Now, here's the key. What did you do while you were here? And here's one thing that excites me about our church. There's a lot of you that are invested in making a difference. How many of y'all want to make a difference with the life that you've been given? Coach Cox, I've always respected you for this because your life's more than football. You care about those kids. You care about those kids that graduate. You want to see them become men that make a difference. Now listen, God is calling us in everything we do to reveal Him. Is that cool?
Amen.
In everything we do. I said everything. How many of you have ever sinned as a believer? You follow Jesus Christ, but you just flat out missed it. Other than the pastor, how many sinned in the church? Good. I want you all to be aware of this, okay? Now watch. When we sin as a follower of Jesus Christ, can we still glorify God? You know how Christians seem to do that? I'm sorry. I've made a mistake. I've not lived up to what was in me. I did not make the right choice. I was led astray by temptation. And I want to apologize because I'm not living out the reality that's in me. But I'm going to repent in the name of Jesus Christ. I know that God has forgiven me. And I'm going to step back on course and not live out my mistakes. How many of y'all realize that even when we mess up, God can be glorified? If we will apologize.
Amen.
Guess what Christians do now? We try to tell everybody how we weren't wrong instead of just saying we messed up. How many of y'all have ever told a lie being a believer? Every golfer in here has told a lie. Except Dale Brown. Dale Brown is a Pharisee on the golf course. He knows every law and he won't even let you move the ball. And I told Dale, I'm not moving the ball, I'm adjusting it. It's all a matter of interpretation of the law. Huh? Isn't that the way we do our lives? That's what gets you in trouble. You want to go into sin, what do? You adjust God's standard. Now, I'm asking us to live in God's standard. Why? That affects our nation more than anything. You want to talk about a sermon that affects the nation, live out these things. I don't know how many people you're going to change. You know what? One's good enough. You know, Sarge, I think that's what happens. We all want to change. Wait, what's this? We want to change the whole battle. Guess what? What if we just made an agreement? I'm going to change what's in front of me. That's me. And that's probably going to affect somebody else. And I think that would cause more of a movement than always trying to move the whole house. I watched them dig this hole out here. They didn't try to dig it all in one day. And I'm glad I didn't dig the hole out there because you know what? I'd have just started digging. You know, they actually had a plan on how they were going to dig so that at the last dig, they just backed the track hole out of there and they loaded it up on a trailer and it went home. You know what I'd have done? I'd have stuck the track hole right in the middle of the hole. And we'd have been in a crisis because I'd have dug all around it because that'd have looked fun just to dig this way. And then all of a sudden, I would have dug myself an island that I couldn't have gotten off of. Anybody ever done that before? Huh? How many of y'all going to fix it over here, fix it over here, fix it over here, then fix it back here? And before too long, you've torn down everything around you and you're standing on your own homemade island singing all alone. There you are. And God calls us forth. I want you to see what He said. Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 17 before we get into order. I'm just going to ask you to be aware of these orders, but then I'm going to encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ to begin to apply them in your lives. And I believe the more we do that, people around us will be aware that there's a Jesus. Now, once again, Nathan, you cannot live these out unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why, Professor? You will always be on the take until you meet Jesus. In every relationship you have, it'll be about what you're going to get out of it. Now, when you meet Jesus, here is the philosophical change. What am I going to give into it? Tyler Jones, as you play baseball, and I was reading the paper this week. Elizabeth makes me read the paper now. She's helping with my reading skills. I get little stickers at the end of the week for what I've read. And Tyler, I was watching the All-Stars, and I remember when you all played on the All-Stars when you were little. And I thought, you've given in to baseball, haven't you? And you've given to it, and now you wear big rings on your finger. But the big rings didn't come without a lot of practice. And when a lot of your friends were out doing some other things, you were focused on what it took to be a ball player. Would you agree? When a lot of your friends were out involved in some other activities, you were focused on, I better keep my head clear. Would you agree with me? And so it led to a blessing. Now, here's what's interesting, though, with us. We'll begrudge people with the blessing. See, when I went to school, if you didn't study, they didn't keep you in the classroom. I want you to know I personally know that. It was very interesting. When you acted up in class, they didn't give you time out. They didn't give you any counseling. They didn't give you any therapy. They gave you reality. Let me show you how it worked. Some of us learn through our minds. Others of us learn through our rear ends. Both of those are learning positions. Guess what they taught me? Don't do that. Now, those little old teachers, those lady teachers, had no big deal. Fifth grade, I had a teacher break a ping pong paddle on my rear end. Then I really got a double dose because I laughed. She got up here, and I went, ooh. But in eighth grade, there was this brother, eighth grade teacher named Robert Steen. He had a belly on him, kind of like mine now. And he had these big eyes, and he'd wear his glasses down over his nose. He's also our football coach, Robert Steen. He always taught pulling on his drawers. He couldn't lecture without pulling on his drawers. I learned American history like this, and Columbus sailed. It was always interesting. And so old Steen, you know what? He carried a paddle with authority. He was like the rifleman with the paddle. And his paddle wasn't no ping pong paddle. He had a homemade paddle. Sucker wouldn't break. I know. And it was the kind of paddling where it hurt really bad. And then if you cried, you knew he knew you were a sissy. You know what? You know how many paddlings I got from him? One. You know what I did after that paddling? Shut up. And here's all he had to do after that. Boy, you want me to cloud up and rain all over you? Mm-mm. No. And you know, you're in eighth grade and your voice is changing. You went, no, sir, Mr. Steen. You know, it goes up and down. It's crazy. You know what he did? He loved me. He wanted to keep me in order. Look, God wants us to be in order. Why? God orders his creation to bring life. Would you all agree with me that God has always been a God that orders his creation to bring life? And so he puts an order in 1 Colossians 3. First of all, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the first response we have in nation is to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. That's our first response as believers. We are to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, that we're in order, that we want to be a blessing, and that we want to make a difference. How many of you all really dream of the day when people want to be around Christians because they're the best kind of people to be around? That's my goal. Hey, I want to get around a Christian because I know they're going to bring a blessing. Whatever you do in word or deed, glorify God. How many of y'all are working on that? Mr. Businessman, that means your business glorifies God. You know what that means? Your word's your word. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand in business. No, I do understand. Your word is your word. You can't control other words. You control yours. It's a good reputation to have. I have that reputation among my colleagues. The biggest group of storytellers, I'll be nice today if I'm in a good mood, is guess who? Pastors. Pastors always trumping their resume. They'll tell me they graduated from such and such. I'll go call such and such, and guess what? They don't even know their name. Just be real. You are who you are. It's not what you've done or what you've accumulated that matters. It's who you know. Does that make sense? I don't care where a pastor graduated. I care where his heart is. I care what his word is. Make sense? When we're hiring pastors here, I don't look at where they've been to seminary. I look at where they've been with Jesus. Because you can shuffle paper and not know him. In word and deed, do you know him? So let me ask you a question. If somebody watched you live for a week, would they know Jesus is alive? If you didn't pray over your food, would they know Jesus is alive? By the way, they found that bumper stickers really don't help a lot. They said that the most rageful people, did y'all read that article? It's an interesting article. The most rageful people in the world are those who have bumper stickers. And it doesn't matter what the bumper sticker is. It can be, I love Jesus. Or stupid bumper stickers like this that nobody understands. In case of the rapture, I will not be driving. I hope they are. I mean, who understands that stuff other than people that are in one little sector of the church? You know what? I got a radical idea. Why don't we live it out and see what happens? Why don't we just take 10 years and instead of screaming to the world what they ought to be, why don't we become what we need to be and see what happens to them? There's a radical idea. No t-shirts, no rallies, no jump. Just actually be this. He says, Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed. Not whatever you do, what you become in word or deed is important. Look what he says. And man, this is tough. How many of y'all have ever blown your witness? My toughest place in the world to have a witness is the lake. And here's the reason. I got machinery up there. And it breaks. And I got a temper. And I have a false belief. I believe that something that is manufactured ought to function. And so when it doesn't function, it sends me into orbit. It sends me into orbit more than anything else in the world. I mean, Elizabeth could come home and say, I've cut my finger off. Let's go to the doctor and stitch it up. A boat not start and I am three sheets in the wind going crazy in anchor. Now, let me ask you a question. If I'm going down the dock, and I'm speaking tongues sometimes, and I'm trying to keep that low key, and my face is red, and I had a darling, this beautiful lady, she was sitting on the houseboat one night, the boat's acting up. She goes by me and she says, Preacher, you look upset. I said, honey, I'm way beyond that. But she went, ooh. Guess what she realized? Preachers get ticked. We live in a human world, but we have to watch how God's going to guide us in everything. Now, here's the order. In whatever you do, it ought to glorify God. Everybody got that? Let me ask you a question. Do you all believe that that would have national implication? I mean, I wish I had time this morning to go around the room here at everything everybody's involved in and what kind of witness that would be. If everybody just be who they are in Christ in that thing. See, I think the problem with the church is we've tried to recreate events and we need to just go be in them. Here's what Jesus did. He went into the world and revealed God. Why is that a bad plan today? In fact, I said this one time in a conference and it freaked everybody out. I said, we'd have a greater witness if we closed all the churches. Because then all those who really believe would have to be in the midst of the world revealing Christ instead of huddled up in their huddle houses scared to go out. Amen. Jesus did it in the everyday. Just like you up there at the medical center when you was wiring up all that technology to the glory of God. You know what? When I went by, I went, man, there's my brother, man. He knows how to do stuff that I would never be able to know how to do. Freddie Hampton can weld stuff. How many of y'all can weld stuff? Freddie can. See what I'm saying? Freddie can fix a couple things. Now, not a lot of things, but a couple things. We all have something. True? We all have something. Here's what I'm asking you to do, to invest that something. The first order we need to do is we need to be an illustration of family. One of the things that happens, man, when we start following Jesus Christ, man, we ought to want to embrace family. Now, here's the thing. We've gone on long enough inside America. Our families are all scrambled up upside down, and it's a nightmare right now. Would you agree with me, or am I just making this up? All of you that work with kids, there's the number one problem with kids. They don't have any parents. That's why there's a problem with kids. There's not a problem. Dale and Tim and Kathy and those of you all in public school, there is not a problem with public school. Public school is it is a system. Systems don't have personalities. The problem is the public. Amen. We got a public problem. See, here's why private schools don't have the problems that public schools have. They get to get the public they want. Yeah. Watch this. You give me the top 10%, it's a lot easier to do school with the top 10% than it is with the rest of the public. How many of y'all, if you've had four kids, you got, if you kept the two you really wanted, then you'd have come out a lot better. That ain't not telling the truth, amen? I feel sorry for my dad. He'd had to get rid of three of them after me. I mean, what would he... I tell them all the time. I tell my parents, I said, I can't believe y'all got those other three. You had me. I mean, I don't know what the deal was. Every time, Lord, can you get us one better? Huh? How many of y'all find it's just tough to keep things in order? Now, the first thing we got to do, guys, this is why we're concentrating on marriage and family. I'm going to go over this. We're about done. Really, we're about done. We're not going to be as long as you think we are. So just evaluate however long you thought we are. I'm going to be a little shorter than that. First thing, it says this. Put your family in order. That's the start of it. So guess what? We can talk social program after social program after social program, and all we're going to do is spend trillions of dollars until the family shores up. Now, these are real solutions. These are real solutions. And nobody wants to talk about these because they work. And here's the problem. If you follow this, we'll put a lot of people out of business. That's why they don't want them. That's why they don't want them to work. There's a lot of money in chaotic families. Got all these specialized programs. Merle, you remember when y'all just used to teach subjects? That's called school. You went to school to learn subjects. You went home to learn morality. You went to the church to know about God. Now we want one institution to do everything we're supposed to do. Follow me. I gave you a philosophy because we're on the take. How many of y'all expect this? I'm going to take my kid to school, and they're going to make them better. Debbie, you got parents like that over to... I mean, you don't have to name them. If they go here, go ahead and name them. Call them out. No, I'm just kidding. Huh? No, I raised my child to be a blessing. Now, look, it starts in this relationship. Then he goes on. Do everything you do, let it glorify God. How many of y'all got that rhythm? Come on, we got to go down and rest this. Right, Nick? You love Nancy because it glorifies who? And she loves you because it... And in the middle of this relationship, who's there, Nancy? Jesus, absolutely, God. Elijah the prophet, everything you do, if you're up there dancing, doing your groove, doing your Broadway thing, it glorifies who? God. And so when they turn the lights on, don't you ever start looking at them. If they turn those lights on, what do you want to do? You'll go bling, bling, it's on me. And when they turn the lights on, you need to go bling, bling, it's on him. How many of y'all understand if you live this way, you glorify God? Now look at here. Here's what he says. First of all, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Now, women, before you go off, this doesn't mean agree with everything they say. It says submit to them. Listen to the scripture. As fitting to the what? So, wives, when your husbands and you are dialoguing, who is the filter? Jesus. What Jesus called me to do. Now, here's what he's saying here. Wives, enhance the marriage. Don't hinder the marriage. It's as simple as that. Now, let's get practical. How many of y'all have ever seen a wonderful husband with a naggy wife? Women, is nasty. Now listen, here's the secret. Don't nag him in public. Get him in private. Let him feel like he's in charge in public. You say, how do you know how this? This is what Elizabeth does to me. In public, she'll look and you can always tell Elizabeth because she'll give herself away. When she's smiling at you like this, that means you're dumber than a brick. And here's how I know, because I've been smiling at that a lot. At first, I thought she was adoring me. So that shows how dumb I was. Well, Elizabeth would get me home and she goes, have you really thought, and what she never tells me, she'll just go, have you thought about this? No. She goes, you know why? Because you didn't read the newspaper. Have you looked at this? You know what? She gently guides me instead of, because guess what? If Elizabeth comes in and says, you need to do this, guess it's on. And I don't have a boxing match, Jamie. I have one of them UCF fights, one of them new kind of fights. I'm a brawler, man. It'll be a big brawl. And then I'll pout. And then eventually I'll come around and say, you know what, honey? You're right. But that could be 10 years from now. And a lot of things have been messed up. Look at here. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. There's the balance. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. Now, man, I'm just going to lay it down in this church. Your pastor has zero tolerance for any man that would ever be physical with a woman. I have zero tolerance. And I'm old school. Man hits a woman, he needs to be squared up by a man. And we need to go have a little discussion. And it needs to be behind the church and not at the altar. That's called loving them. Amen. And I've had that happen before. Especially little old sissy men. Be hitting a woman. You hit a woman, we know you a sissy. You come hit me and yell at me like that. I bet we'll sit down and reason.
Amen.
We'll eventually come to reasoning. Don't ever hit a woman. Now listen, men, women are designed to make you mad. Hey, men, let's tell the truth today. There is nothing in this world that'll make a man madder than a woman. What about it, Dr. Ward? Come on, jump on in the ring with me. That way Mildred can get you, too. Oh, I'm going to tag team. I got to get some preaching help. Reverend Reynolds. Reverend Reynolds. What about it?
You're right.
You've been married for a while. Shane, you still in la-la land. You still searching. But even in la-la land, what have you found?
It could happen.
Now see, there's guys that have been married, and there's a guy that wants to be married. Do y'all see how wanting to be married is a lot more wonderful than being married? It can happen. Husbands, don't be harsh with your wives. Be gentle with your wives. Be considerate with your wives. Now, hold on. Here's where I'm going. I know we talk about some of these things, and they are hilarious, but guess what? The way we live out our marriage glorifies God. And so guess what? You know, if you went through a divorce and you've been married, listen, let's not go over a guilt trip with all that stuff. That's over. Let's live one out to the glory of God. Does that make sense? I don't have time for y'all to go through all that religious mogo-jogo stuff. You know, I've been divorced. Listen. If you're married now, you stay there till you die. Period. Here's why people get divorced. Wives don't submit to their husbands, and husbands are harsh with their wives. There's two good reasons. Because guess what, husbands? If you will be respectful, your wife will come through. How many of y'all found it to be true? When I'm nice, my wife likes me. When I'm pouting and throwing a fit and... How many of y'all go, I'm like this sometimes. Sometimes I just wake up in a bad mood. How many of y'all ever do that? Just wake up in a bad mood. Ain't nothing ticked you off, but you're looking for something to tick you off. How many of y'all ever had that situation? Yeah, just wake up in the morning, I'm going, you know what, I'm going to get ticked off today. And guess who's always available with something to do that? Because the first thing in the morning she'll do is she will get up and put her high heels on and walk across a wood floor. And it sounds like we have a herd of those Budweiser horses getting ready to be saddled up, getting ready to, yeah, I mean, just, I go, man, I want to be what? I want to be angry, so I'll find something to be angry about. Don't be harsh with your wives. Now, guess what it says? Children. It goes on down and says, listen, have an order marriage and have order with your children. Children, obey your what? In all things. Now, children, let me let you in on something. Your parents want you to leave. Isn't that right, Clayson? So the things they tell you now are to bless your life and equip your life so that one day you can leave and prosper. That ought to be the idea of a parent that follows Jesus Christ. So children, you better listen. No parent will tell a child something that has any Jesus salt in them to damage that child. See, brother, guess what your parents want you to do? They want you to be the best possible young man that you can be because they want you to stand up and be a great man. You know why? They are old enough to know they're going to get old. And they want to build you up so one day you can carry them out. That's part of life. We help each other. We help each other. We are a Christian community. Guess what? I'm concerned about every kid in this church. How many of y'all concerned about every kid in this church? You better get concerned about every kid in this church. And I don't want to ever hear this. I'm going to hit you with my Bible lovingly. If I hear this, well, I've raised my children and it's the next generation. Well, then the Lord just needs to take you. Just get you out of here if you're done. I'm telling the truth. Now listen, 8 o'clock, before too long, we'll be the old service. Okay, that's all. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's better than being a dead service, amen? But when we become grandfathers and great-grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, listen, we got a responsibility to keep pouring into the generation that's coming. We don't fold our arms and cross our legs and say, we're done. Here's what I'm telling you. You're never done. Listen, this 65 thing I'm done at 65, wipe it out of your mind. Wipe it out of your mind. We have created pills that are going to allow you to live to 105. So at 65, you can't put on the brakes. That's the problem with the Social Security program right now. It was hedging its bet that you were going to be dead at 61. And then somebody created all these pills. Remember, we didn't used to have all these pills. Like when your blood pressure blew, you blew too. We have some new things. We got to start deciding, how am I going to make a difference for a long time? I'm going to invest in my children. Look what he says. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So, Clayson, when you do what your daddy says, Jesus is smiling. What do you think about that? You should make Jesus smile. This sermon is for you and your mother. No, it's not. Because now watch, here's my responsibility. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. One quick illustration. Fathers, it better be out of your mouth, good job, daughter. Good job, son. And if you are a gripey, negative father, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar today. You are killing your kids. Amen. You know how many times listen, when they strike out, guess what you say? Man, we're going to have to do better next time. And fathers, don't ever do this. I heard this coaching. Kid hit a single. The father didn't celebrate till his son got on base. The father said, well, you know what? If you'd have leveled your bat out, you'd have hit a triple. Now, I'm going to tell you what that is. That is a small-minded, negative father. And if you father that way and always have a complaint about your children, here's what I'm telling you. Hell's on its way. Hell's on its way. You better celebrate with them. And here's what I'm telling you in sports. Just don't say anything. I was on the sideline with my son for 4 years in high school. You know how I handled that? I didn't say anything. Because it's none of my business. I never played quarterback. You had to think to do that. You had to be able to spell a play. That's why I played hit the guy with the ball. Could figure that out. Couldn't figure out how to get it down the field, but I could figure out when it came through there, hit that guy. See, that's not complicated. That's his life. That's not my life. Fathers, your job is to put your children into life, not to live their life. So all you jock daddies, because where else you need to go? Dance recitals. All right, close. And even if you don't understand a thing that goes on, I've been to a ballet. This is all I know about a ballet. See it? They didn't go to a ballet and ask Elizabeth. I said, "What's?" If I finally figured it out this year. We had some ballets come out in these white fluffy things, and then we had some ballets come out in black fluffy things. I said, "It's cowboys and Indians. One got a white hat on, one got a dark hat on." I figured it out. Elizabeth said, "Yes, they're in a turmoil of the inter." I said, "It looked like they're dancing to me." But you go and you take flowers. And even as a man, when you can't figure that out, guess what you do? You do what your wife tells you to do. When your wife says, "You need to take these flowers," you go. And you don't go, "Why do we need to take flowers?" Because you will never understand. But go be a blessing. Am I making sense here? Is this making sense? Watch this. I want to talk about how to bless the nation today. We'll live out some of these principles. And then we come to a difficult passage. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you to win their favor, but with the sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Now, I bet some of you are wondering, is he going to talk about that slave thing? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Let me help you. Slavery did not occur in the 1800s. Slavery has been a part of humanity since humanity began to exist. I tell you where the first step of slavery started. There was a tree in the middle of a garden. We were free, free in God. We were innocent. We were free, free, free. And we decided to be like God. And we ate of the forbidden tree. And when we did, we enacted slavery. Because here's the problem. None of us can be God. Tell your neighbor, you're not him. Just so they'll know. You're not him. Now, understand slavery. Slavery in this moment of culture is not like the slavery it was set up in the European model of Britain. A lot of slaves were indentured servants. In other words, they were in debt. They were working to pay off their debt. For us, this is where this applies. As an employee of someone who has authority over you. Now, I know we have a hard time understanding this. But how many of y'all realize one of the greatest witnesses you have is in your workplace? Make sense? Now, I absolutely do not support slavery. I don't think slavery works, do y'all? Here's what I believe. Of course, I'm old-fashioned. I absolutely believe this. I believe the people that work for you ought to be treated well. Now, I used to believe this. The more that you did good for them, the more they would do back. But not anymore. Now they all expect to make $30 an hour for playing PlayStation. Do you know, even in the church I've gone by, not with this particular staff, but in previous staffs I've had, I have gone by their office and they have been playing solitaire. What do you think happened as Pastor Ayers roamed through the hall and found a staff member playing solitaire on their computer during the day? It's not good. I had to remind them that we still had 70,000 people going to hell right now as they play solitaire on their computer. But you see, they had grown up where they never had any consequences. And they lived in America. So they believed it was okay on the clock to burn your time. But Pastor Aaron, now while I get, he's old school, he believes every penny you put in that offering bag ought to be held accountable to. So he becomes very, very, very ill when people who are on God's clock don't use God's time wisely. Is that fair? I really don't care if it is or not. I've never been into fair. See, that's where I'm doing. I don't care about fair. I care about just. Those are two different concepts. Just is we glorify God in what we do. I'm going to wrap her up. Look what he says. Even if you're in an indentured situation, you know what I'm talking about? So really, in a real way, how many of you all have a supervisor, or sometimes we used to call them a boss? What do we call them politically correct now? Enhancement service person or whatever. I don't know. There's always going to be somebody in authority. Y'all okay with that? Now, how you respect people in authority illustrates who you believe in. Does this make sense? And it's a godly activity. I want you to hear me. This is a godly activity. And I think here's the message for us today in America as we live out our lives. Everything we do ought to glorify God and illustrate who He is. Number two, children. They need to absorb what their parents, and their parents ought to want the best for them. That ought to be our rhythm. Here's the third thing. When you work for somebody, let it glorify God. Make sense, young men? You say, well, somebody's over me. That's fine. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Y'all need to understand this. There's never been a great leader that wasn't a great follower first. Great leaders come from great followers. That's why in the church you don't hear me talk about leadership. Because I'm not worried about leadership, because God didn't call people to be leaders. He called people to be followers. Amen. Everybody in here is a follower. Some of y'all get so impressed because somebody gave you a title. Watch this. I got a bunch of letters in front of my name. So what? When Jesus Christ talks to me, guess how He's going to address me? Steve. A person. Were you responsible? Were you responsible? Were we responsible in making a difference with what God had given us? Look what he said. Not only when their eyes are on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. So I wanted you to realize this. It's how we live it that's going to make a difference in the world around us. Make sense? Watch this. Have y'all noticed how people don't want to hear about the Christians this election season? Y'all picked up on that? Doesn't bother me because I didn't want to hear from them either. For this reason. We mouthed it, but we didn't do it. So here's what I want you to be aware of at Hillview, and you may want to leave. Because it's a whole lot easier to wear a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus, than it is to love Jesus. And it's a whole lot easier to run around with your little bracelets on that says WWJD. Here's what I'm telling you. Jesus never wore his religion on his sleeve. He was not a man full of cliches. He was not a man full of little religious actions. His life was the kingdom of God. His language was moving heaven to earth. Catch that? It wasn't cliche. It wasn't in the club. He spoke in such a way that the common man knew what to do. And I hope that we will be like that here in this church. Amen? I'm finished. Y'all got any questions? Seriously, any questions? Is this crazy day? It's kind of order and it kind of shapes us up. What about some of you young folks, man? Does this make sense, or I just sound like your old daddy or something? Huh? I mean, I don't care to sound like your old daddy. I'm becoming an old daddy. But I want you to know we got to start living it. Now, what are you going to tell me? How many of y'all going to make sure July the 4th weekend that you bless your wives and bless your husbands if you're married? You need to wake up and say, God, put me in a good mood that morning. I'm going to be around other people. I want to be an illustration that your things are great. Children, how many of y'all going to obey your parents? Good, Clay. So glad to see your hand up. That's the most important hand to me in here. Come on, how many other children? What about it, big boy? I don't know your name. What's your name? Bradley? That's a man's name. I like that. Bradley, you going to obey your parents? Well, let's rephrase then. You're going to do the best you can to obey your parents. I like you. You're an honest man. Hey, y'all like that. See, you adults lie all the time. You go, oh, yes, pastor, we're going to do that. And y'all thinking about what you're going to do right now that goes against this sermon. Come on. Let's make this happen. All right? Remember, qualification. You will not be in order until you receive Jesus Christ in your life. Is this making sense? You'll be on the take. Now, here's where you get relief. How many of you realize nobody could save you but Jesus? Nobody save you but Jesus. So some of you today, for the first time in your life, you need to make this step. You need to say, you know what, Jesus? I believe you're for real. And just evaluate your life real quick. Lord Jesus, I've been on the take. Which is why we're mad all the time. You didn't give me what? When I wanted. Hear these kids all the time. Well, my life is just messed up because my parents didn't come through. Oh, goodness. All parents stink. They're human. You can find an excuse to be lousy any day. That's true. You can find an excuse why you did what you did, but guess what? I'll find somebody in your same situation that went a different direction, and that just blows your theory. I get so tired, everybody says, well, I grew up in an alcoholic home. I got to be an alcoholic. That's a lie. What's this? Do y'all know a true statistic? This is true. Johnny, you know this is true. 50% of the people that grow up in alcoholic homes never touch a drop. I bet they don't have the alcohol gene. Maybe they just say, you know what, as a human being, I'm going to embrace what God's given me, the power to choose, and I'm going to stand in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to receive the grace of Jesus, and I'm going to stop because I've seen what that'll do. And I'm not going down that road. How many of y'all glad to know that God will intervene in the midst of our craziness? That's the hope of the Lord. I don't have to be what I've seen. I'm be something different. That's real. I'm just throwing out some proposals. How many of y'all believe this will work? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many of y'all believe that? Everybody's messed up. And so here's what Jesus said. I've come, I've lived, I'm real, I've died, I've risen again. And if you will receive me into your life, I will forgive you of your sin and create a new reality in you. That's really what goes on in believers. We get a new reality. What do you think about that, Jeff Hayes? That's happened to you. Huh? You weren't sitting in here 10 years ago, were you? What happened to you? You've been to church a lot, though, hadn't you? 47 years. But then what happened to you? Jesus. Living testimony. Book of Jeff right here. Book of Earl. Earl and Cindy have been married 64 years. Isn't that right? 52 years? 62. See, I done prophesied you're going to live two more years. What do you think about that? That's so you can give to the building, Earl. That's why he's holding you on there. All right, remember, no, I'm just kidding. 62 years. No, I want y'all to know that. It's possible to do it. We got some people here been married 50 years. My mom and dad have made 50 years. I called them up and I said, thanks for being married 50 years. I said, that's really cool. I don't know about y'all, but I get crazy about that now. Now, there's going to be a lot of people who have been married 50 years, but it's been to five people. I'm talking about just one. I'm not talking about 10 years stacks, okay? It's okay. Let's see what God will do with us, amen? Some of you need to come receive Christ. A lot of us need to come and pray. And here's one of the prayers today. God, take my life. And here's what I'm going to ask you to pray. Help me make the difference I'm responsible for. I'm not asking you to change the whole world, so don't freeze up. I'm asking you to have a good marriage. Is that okay? I'm asking you to raise your kids, and I'm asking you to be responsible for what's in front of you. If you need to talk about baptism, we're baptizing people all week long. So come, let's talk about that. If you need to come and just pray, let's pray, all right? Let's stand together. God's got these doors open. This door is open at the altar. Father, I pray for whoever needs to be saved right now. You've already spoken to them. They're going to be saved. Lord, I pray that today was a sermon that gave us some real truth on how to live a real life that will change us really forever. So right now, Jesus, it's in your name, by your power, as we come to the altar, we pray for changing lives. We pray for people to be baptized. We pray for people to be healed. We pray for people to become aware of the Holy Spirit and it be revealed in their lives. Lord, I pray for a flowing of your nature in our everydayness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, come on.